We continue to extend Christian greetings to each one here this morning. We count it a privilege to be here with you. And yesterday I said I was a bit out of my element. Don't have any Brian shopped around here that I know of, and that, not close anyway. And well, Pennsylvania, I just kind of, like I said, kind of out of my element. We appreciated the invitation to the wedding yesterday. And of course, being here, I find myself up here this morning with you people. But I have known of Juniata County, and I knew that some of you moved here from Summit View out of Pennsylvania. Maybe a little further introduction of who we are, and you probably know, but our son-in-law taught school at Summit View. He helped them start the school there, Mark Beachy and Regina. Mark and Regina Beachy taught school there at Summit View for several years back. We're Regina's parents. Well, as I said, we count it a privilege to be here this morning, and we've been blessed by being here, the song service and all. And some, I think all three of the songs are a little bit new for me or for us. I enjoyed the song and the singing in that Beulah Land. That just touched my heart. Oh, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, as on the highest mount I stand. And as I sang that, I thought about these mountains around here where I come from. We don't have all these hills and mountains. And it's beautiful country here, I'd say. But oh, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, is on the highest mount I stand. I look away across the sea where mansions are prepared for me, and view that shining glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore. Isn't that the reason that we're here this morning? Because we're looking forward to that time? Part of the reason, at least, and it is a motivating factor. It should be a motivating factor in our life. Couldn't help but think of Jesus' words when he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know what? I was really enjoying that song. I enjoyed that song, the message, and the thoughts of heaven there. And then when we sang the next song, that's a beautiful song also, and it is a new song to me, the last song that we sang there. I saw one hanging on a tree, and said, oh, can it be upon a tree the Savior died for me? I suppose I've heard it, but it's relatively new for me. But, you know, when we look forward to going to glory someday, you know, our only hope is through Jesus Christ, and that he was willing to humble himself, give his life on the cross of Calvary, and shed his blood there for you and me. It's a humbling thought to me. I'm not worthy of it. You're not worthy of it. But Jesus was willing to come and to do that for us, to give his life a ransom for all. Couldn't help but think of the scripture in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, beloved scripture, where it says, Beloved, now, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We can be the sons and daughters of God. It says, therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. It says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. O Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. You know, we have a great hope. We are a blessed people. We're not worthy to have this privilege and opportunity of being assembled here this way this morning. We're no better than the heathen in Africa, the pagans scattered throughout the nations of the world. We're no better than they are. How is it that God has blessed us so? How is it that we've been privileged to be born in Christian homes and taught the way of life and salvation through Jesus Christ? How is it? How is it? I don't understand it. But praise God that we have that opportunity. And do you ever stop and think how few in number we are? The Bible tells us there are few that find a straight and narrow way to travel that road. And do you ever stop and think of how few in number we are in comparison to the population in the world? That's something to think about. And how is it that we've had this privilege? And how is it that some of us spurn that opportunity? How is it? How is it that a person, a child, can grow up in a Christian home, a good setting, and still err? Take the wrong way in life. How is it that an older person can be drawn away by the things of this life, cares of this world, and drift away from God? How is it when we have such a hope, the hope of that Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, and when we realize what love it took, what Jesus did for mankind, he gave his life on that cruel cross of Calvary, shed his blood there for you and me. Praise the Lord. We're a blessed and a privileged people. May all of us be faithful to that call and committed and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and keep that hope before us ever, that hope which is an anchor of the soul. And as it said, he that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I appreciate the thoughts and devotion about that new wood. And, you know, I think maybe I apply it a bit. You know, he said the inner man be renewed from day to day, and certainly that is true. But I think also it would be fitting with the subject that I've chosen to speak on today. I've chosen to speak on the subject of humility. Humility. And that was partly, you know, what I was just saying, how we are not worthy of the manifold blessings that God has so richly bestowed upon us. We're not worthy of being of those few that have been privileged to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and know what it means to have our sins washed away and have a clear conscience and a free spirit and to know God and to have that hope. We don't have to look very far till we see that the people that are doomed and headed for a Christless grave without God, because they didn't have the privileges we have now. But that also is a part of our responsibility then, to be that light to the world and the salt to the earth. This subject on humility, you know, who is able to stand up arrogantly to God or, you know, think of himself as being someone special when we know God, and know what he has done for us. Let's turn, you may turn with me to Philippians, the second chapter. There's a lot of scriptures that we, I guess, could have turned to this morning concerning humility. And I would say this morning that that is something pride. Well, the opposite is pride. The opposite of humility, of course, is pride. We know that. And pride is something that we're born with. We're certainly not born with a humble spirit. We're not born a humble people. We're born proud. You know, we have mothers here this morning with children on their laps and with babies. I seen a number of babies yesterday around and all. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I guess we would like to think of them as little angels. Well, they certainly are a great and wonderful creation of God. They are, yes. And they're beautiful, perfectly formed, most of them and all. But you know what? On the inside, Brother Nelson spoke about that inner man. That inner man, isn't that beautiful, even in that small child, born with that evil and corrupt nature, born with that proud spirit, proud and haughty spirit. I'm not too sure that sometimes when you hear these little ones, you know, scream and holler, that that isn't some of what's coming out. What do you think? Well, there's different reasons, sure. But, you know, we're born with a proud spirit, born of proud people. You know, we want the people to know who I am. And what I have done and what I have accomplished and what I'm going to do and all that, except by the grace of God. And we've committed that great I am to the cross and to the blood, under the blood. I'm sure probably you've thought about this. This may have been mentioned. Have you ever thought about what happens with the word sin when you take the I out? Well, it's no more sin, at least. I mean, it seems to be very little of anything. If you take the word, that letter I out of sin, you know, it's not sin anymore. Philippians, the second chapter, a beautiful portion of scripture. And I say here we find good admonition along the lines of humility and also then the perfect example, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, he is our perfect example in many areas of life and particularly in the area of humility. We'll read here in Philippians 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then the example of Christ himself. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I think that's as far as we'll read here. But here we have a very timely admonition along the lines or concerning humility. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. That is absolutely contrary to the human nature. And you know, that is something that we have to exercise ourselves in, I'll say. Now this morning, you know, there's a few things about humility, it seems like, that, well, Is it correct for, would it be correct for me to stand up here and say I'm an humble person? Or if I asked you, if I would ask for a raise of hand for everybody that says I'm humble, would it be correct for everybody to raise their hand? I'm not too sure. I just don't quite think that would be hardly correct to do that. Even recognizing, though, that that's what we're called to be. You know, I think about the Bible says, without holiness, it's impossible to see the Lord. And this morning, I think that I can say, according to, by the authority of God's word, we can say the same thing about humility. Without humility, it will be impossible to see God. So it is an important aspect in the Christian life. It's an important virtue, an important characteristic. And except we attain to that by the grace of God, by our submission, our surrender, and our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we, by His grace, apply the principles of God taught in God's word, of love and kindness and forgiveness and servanthood. Think not every man on his own things, it says here, but every man also on the things of others. And that certainly doesn't mean that we're supposed to be trying to find fault with each other and talking about each other. And you know, that's something that's too common among us at times. That's what they call gossip, you know. But it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That means, I would say that means, you know, don't just be concerned about yourself, about this number one, me, I, myself. Brother Hudale, is he, Gary? I think y'all heard that name, and I think he was just across the way here not too long ago and held meetings. He was in our community just not too long ago, and we really appreciated his ministry there and the messages that he shared there. But he said in their country, he said, people sometimes are greedy. And he said, a man will say, he says, me first. And he said, me first again. Me first again. And, you know, if anything follows, it's me again. You know, that's the way of the human nature. Me, number one. Here it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That is important. And, you know, and with that, I'll say this morning, I think it's correct. If the minister, some of the ministers want to make a correction on that, but I'll say this morning, by the authority of God's word, we can say, except a man is humble, he will not see God. It becomes humble by the grace of God. So, but you know, Hudale Izagary turned that around then, and he said, well, you know, they're greedy folks that are, you know, people out of the inner man, the natural man. They would say that, but you know, what we really need to say is Jesus first again, and Jesus again. And, you know, and when we know that we are what we are because of God's love and God's forgiveness, and we know that, as Paul said, there is no, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he says that it is not within man to do that which he would. As Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. So we can understand this morning that of our own nature, of our own being, of the way that we were created, the way that we were born, we would die and go to hell. But Jesus, God, through Jesus Christ, was willing to give his son. And Jesus was willing to humble himself, as we read here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and came obedient unto death. And that is our only hope. And it is our only way that the inner man can be renewed, as we heard this morning. And I would say this morning, we probably need to grow some new wood in the area of humility. We need to grow new wood. We need to continue to grow in our continued sanctification, as we heard. Continued cleansing of the old inner man and self and selfish desires and wills, and to be renewed in the inner man and grow wood along the areas of becoming humble in our Christian life, in our life. What is humility? Well, it's quite simple. I certainly won't give all the definition that the dictionary gave, but it's not proud. Not proud. Not self-assertive. That comes a little closer home, doesn't it? Not self-assertive. Modest. And you know that word modest carries a lot of clout, a lot of weight. There's a catalog of things that are included in that word modest. Not loud, not gaudy, not assertive. And loud, and that also is in like color, in the way that we dress, the clothes that we wear. And even maybe the vehicles we drive, what, but modest and dressed not to be seen rather than to be seen. And et cetera. Modest is a great word. But now that enters into the word of humility. You know, if you're a humble person, we don't need to be loud and assertive and pushy and let the people know who I am and what I've done and what I intend to do. Modest and then lowly, lowly. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Jesus, our perfect example. Turn with me to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Here we have this account of Jesus. When he rode the donkey, we call it the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's a beautiful account here. And as I was over at as we were over at Jonas King's, he had a picture on the wall of, he said he was over in Israel at Jerusalem. And he said he was, I think they were up on the Mount of Olives and you could see out over Jerusalem. And he asked me, you know, if I like to travel, and I said I haven't been all that much for sightseeing, and I have not been to the Holy Lands or Jerusalem. I said that is one place that I have really, if there's any place that I thought that I would like to see, love to see concerning Jerusalem and the life of Jesus, is Mount of Olives, and as he looked down over Jerusalem and looked over that city. And we know his heart's cry there. How often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her children under my wings, and you would not. Beautiful picture. And he has a picture of that hanging, I mean, a picture of that scene hanging on his wall there. This is a little different, but it's about the same. It's the same setting, the same scene pretty well here. But so here we'll read in Matthew 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitude that went before, and that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. A beautiful scene, a beautiful setting. And here we have a beautiful picture of the humility of Jesus. Jesus left his home in glory. He was he was equal with God, but he was willing to come down here on this sin-cursed earth, take on him flesh and blood, the form of a servant, made in the likeness of man. He was willing to do all that. Then as he lived here, his life was an example of humility. It was the essence of humility. And here we see this King of glory, the creator of the universe, even as he was born of a child and as he grew up and became man. And then he went about his ministry, went about doing good, healing all the oppressed and casting out demons and all those things. But he was still a humble man. And here we find this Jesus, and Zechariah, I guess, the 9th chapter, this prophecy where this comes from, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt of the foal of an ass, lowly and riding upon an ass. You know, this was a true picture of humility. He was willing to ride upon a beast as the poor people rode upon. You know, he didn't come riding into Jerusalem on some big prancing horse as some army general might have done, you know, in pride and arrogance. But he came riding on the foal of an ass, even as the poor people. And here we find the poor and the rejected, the fishermen and the lame and the blind. out praising and glorifying the man that was willing to humble himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they shouted out, Hosanna to the highest, to the King, to the one that was a humble and meek and lowly person. You know, Jesus gave that great invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. Just exactly and completely contrary from the world concept of what life should be and what your life should be and what I should be. You know, in other words, that great I am. You know, we need to find ourselves willing to come down off the throne and the pedestal of our own life and let Jesus have first place there, rule and reign there and have his way and make us those humble and meek and low people as we ought to be. Now, as we have looked at an example here, and we could look at certainly many examples of the humility of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But, you know, sometimes to appreciate the one side, we need to look at the other side and help us to develop a greater appreciation, possibly, I'll say, because of the negative aspect, or in other words, pride. What is pride about? Where does it come from? Where does pride come from? Or why is it that we're born with a proud and haughty spirit and all that? Or what is the source of that? Turn with me to Isaiah, the 14th chapter. Isaiah, the 14th chapter, and began reading, and I'll read verse 12 through 15, I guess I'll read here. And to me, this is the way I understand it, at least it is to some extent, a picture of Satan himself, a picture of Lucifer, the great deceiver, the great, he's not the great I am, he thought he was, but he wasn't. God and Father, he is the great I am. But this Lucifer, he tried to exalt himself. And I'm sure you've probably heard this before. I've said it, and I guess you have heard this said, that, you know, it was pride that turned an angel into a devil. Pride that turned an angel into a devil. And pride certainly disrupts the lives of many people, and it slips into the lives of us, even as Christians, if we're not careful. If we aren't diligent about our life. I say it slips in, it's just there present, naturally, except it's taken care of by the grace of God. But here in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, a picture, and I don't know what description to use, but I guess you'd say a terrible picture, a awesome picture of the wicked one, Lucifer himself. So we'll read here in Isaiah, the 14th chapter and 12th verse and following. And here it says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, listen to this, just completely the opposite from our Lord and Savior, who was willing to humble himself and become obedient unto death, take on him flesh and blood, become his servant. You know, Jesus said, he didn't come to be served, but to be servant and all. Just the opposite. But here it says, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Listen to all these I wills. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will be. I will. I will. I will. And here it says, this is... It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Lucifer, son of the morning. My footnotes say the morning star. I can't help but believe that this being, this angel, probably maybe held a high position even in heaven. You know, I don't know how it is in heaven. I know it's wonderful and glorious there. But this angel that was may have even had a high position in heaven, but here he exalted himself. And here is, we have the declarations. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That's the consequences of that pride, of lifting ourselves up, thinking we're somebody's, you know, somebody special, somebody that you, people need to look to or give special attention to or recognition. Here we see the source of that, don't we? We see the source of that. And that's that that the inclination, that characteristic is passed on down through all the ages, through all generations, through the seed of Adam, through those who, Adam and Eve, who committed that sin, and through them, this nature, this corrupt nature, and the nature of pride and many other corruptions, it's passed right on down through the generations, right on down to you and me. And it's something that we, by the grace of God, need to deal with and work with, take care of. The multitudes were happy that this great one could share their humble condition, and they cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." We call this the triumphal entry of Christ, and indeed it is well named, for here we see the King of Triumph. For here we see the King, the triumph of humility over pride, of meekness over arrogance. We sense in this occasion Christ's triumph over the distinguished and religious wise who could not except the common man from Nazareth of Galilee. Jesus, the King himself, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And here we say, and all those who enter into his kingdom must have this same mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to have that mind also. Realize that we need to humble ourselves. Now, there again, I said, you know, who would say that I'm a humble person? Or how do we become humble? I just have some references here about humility and what God's appreciation for it. But then also it says, humble yourself. We have that command, we'll say, that we need to humble ourselves as we go along in life. But just some more references on this thing about contrition and humility and God's appreciation for it in Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. What is contrite? What is contrition? You know, it is certainly very similar. It's right in with humility. I did look it up in the dictionary, and it said crushed in spirit. Crushed in spirit. You know, we need to come to the place where we realize that we are nothing of ourselves. And the only way, the only hope that we have is in Jesus Christ. But and we know that we have sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. We said that. But crushed in the spirit. I had to think of, I call it the beautiful attitudes, the Beatitudes. How the very first one is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The blessings of God spell out on those that are of a contrite spirit. Those that can come to Jesus Christ and learn of him, the meek and lowly one, and learn of him. The broken in a contrite spirit. Contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. In Isaiah 57:15, it says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. To revive the heart of the contrite one. You know, this morning, if we want the blessings of God, if we want to experience that peace and quiet in our hearts and our lives, we need to be of a broken and a contrite spirit, crushed spirit. We need to be of those that can find ourselves mourning sometimes. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We need to be of those, rather than those that seek to make a mark in the world, we might say, or whatever, whatever our ambitions and desires might be. Very simply stated by Solomon, the proverb writer, who says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We've heard that's very familiar scripture. We probably have already seen it happen. We probably have experienced it in our own life. Many of us have, I'm sure. You know, in 1 Peter and then also in James, it tells us that God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. God resists the proud. Which side of that do you want to be on? Which side of that do we want to be on? The side where God resists us? You know, I don't want to be where I'm in resistance to God. Do you? No, I'm sure you don't. But, you know, are we willing to conduct our life in a way that isn't what we bring about? Are we willing to humble ourselves? Are we willing to lay down the carnalities and desires and the pride and the show and all that so that God will not resist us? Very obviously, we would want to be on the side where we receive God's blessings rather than his resistance, because God is a great God and he is in control and he can resist our life and make it miserable for us. But on the other hand, as we submit to him, willing to give up that pride in our life and even those things that are conducive to making us proud, the way we dress and the things that we have and the things we desire and want and the marks in life that we want to make and all those things, we need to bring them to the cross. We need to follow Jesus on that humble donkey, I guess you could say, and yield all to him there, even as Jesus is willing to give his life on that cross of Calvary. God resists the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. James 4:6, it says, he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He giveth more grace. Praise God for that grace. Now, we can testify of our own experiences that of our own self, that we falter and fail and we stumble and we don't progress much in our Christian life. But as we commit our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that blood, so that we could be cleansed from it and delivered from it, then God give us more grace. God give us more grace. Praise God for that grace. And in verse 10 of James, the fourth chapter, says, humble yourself. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We have that responsibility to humble ourselves. We make choices in life. And again, I'll say, of our own strength, we can't accomplish that. But yet, we need to make the right choices, and we need to be willing to let God work a work in our hearts and our lives to bring us to a state of humility rather than pride and arrogant nature and desires and will that abide in our flesh. By the grace of God, if we humble ourselves to him, and if we, you know, if we're of a meek and lowly spirit and seek his guidance and direction through his word, why, and are willing to submit to that, then God will give us grace to humble ourselves and to serve him. In Luke, we could look at a number of scriptures that Jesus' own words, but in Luke 14:11, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He that exalteth himself, it's a paradox, we call it. In other words, it's just the opposite from what people would think it really is. You know, he that humbleth himself, it will be exalted, but he that exalteth himself shall be abased. Jesus' own words. Well, the whole Bible, though, is Jesus' own words, but it seems like we kind of like to look at the words, those red letter prints, and say, those are Jesus' own words. I'm just throwing this in. Of course, as far as I'm concerned, the whole Bible is all the Word of God. It's all by inspiration. It's all good. But yet it seems like when we see those red letter edition and it's in red letter and you say, Jesus' own spoken words. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. For on which side do we want to be? Well, as I said, it's very obvious that surely we want to be where God can bless us and where he can give us the grace to be those that are meek and quiet and humble spirit. Again, in Philippians, the latter part of the portion that we read there, where it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what we want. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, no reputation. Took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. If Jesus was willing to humble himself, and I believe this morning, according to this scripture, if Jesus had not been willing to humble himself, neither would he have been exalted. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. And except we're willing to commit our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, realize that we're less than nothing, as less than the least of the brethren, I think Paul said. And realizing that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You know, it is we want to do that which is right, but of our own strength, we can't do that which is right. But, you know, by the grace of God, we can overcome that proud and haughty spirit and that self-will, which reaches out in many areas of life. And we can be a people that is a people of God that God can bless. He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourself. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. A little quote here says, if we share in his humility, we will share in his triumph. The triumph of humility. The beauty of humility and the triumph of humility. If we share in his humility, we will also share in his triumph. We will never have proper humility until we learn from the example of Christ. And I think that is so very true. And that's what we've been thinking about. Think of how he lived, how he loved, and how he served. He lived to serve others. And if we focus on others, it will help us to think less about ourselves. If we focus on others, think not just on your own self, but think on the things of others. If we focus on others, we forget about ourselves. It has been well stated that humility is not so much thinking less of ourselves than of others as it is the freedom from thinking of ourselves at all. I like that. Not so much thinking less of ourselves than others, but not thinking about ourselves at all. In other words, just living a life that is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, not trying to make a mark in life and in many areas, in the way that we dress and the vehicles that we drive and the homes that we have and the things that we do and the marks that we make in life. Just don't, humility isn't so much in thinking less of ourselves than others, but not thinking about ourselves at all. And I will say thinking about others. And realizing that of ourselves that we would be lost and doomed for eternal hell and destruction, but by the grace of God, we can be a part of the family of God and be a part of his kingdom and can look forward. And we don't know what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. May the Lord bless you.